You're listening to the audiobook, There's the Steeple, Here's the Church, by Greg Campbell, narrated by the author. Rethinking corporate life as believers and followers of Jesus, the church. A bigger view of church. So, after 2,000 years, how do you think he's doing? That was a question posed in an article I read recently about living in the relational church. It was referring to the time where Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." The question was posed by the author of the article to various individuals and groups of church leaders across the country. You can imagine their initial response. From our house, you can look a few hundred feet up the road and see four large stone examples of how he's doing. Jesus is apparently good at building a completely splintered, divided church that likes to erect cold, lifeless buildings in his honor. That's not to mention all of the gossip, backbiting, positioning, and other games we play inside those edifices. No, if that's your idea of what his church is, you'd have to start making up some excuses for his work. It's not looking so good here. But that is just evidence to me that those structures, both physical and organizational, have nothing to do with the church Jesus said he was going to build. Yes, there are members of his church living and even thriving within the confines of those systems, but they are not the source of the life. The structures are only doomed to fail. Good can come from them. But Jesus did not say, "I'm going to commission a few people to build my church based on their gifts and talents and leadership skills." He said, "I will build my church. He will. That's not up to us." I really like the article. We have mentioned this author before. Wayne Jacobson really seems to be able to say what I have been thinking for a long time. Some things he says remind me of discussions I had with my fellow church staff mates when I first left Bible college and was working full-time with a healthy, growing church. Even though we were doing it so well, there were just major flaws I could see in the system. Our hearts were great, but the focus of our implementation just seemed to be slightly or greatly askew. I would encourage you to read, if you are so inclined, the articles he has posted on this subject. He says it well, and perhaps will give you some food for thought. His articles are available at his website, www.lifestream.org. Life with God is so much more than attending meetings or trying to woo our friends into joining us at them. The church is so much more. Yes, his church is alive and well. We were privileged to meet another part of his body here just last night. I am praying that God would continue to connect us to the people he wants to connect us with, that he would build his church, and that we would follow his lead and be the part of his body he designed us to be. It really is his church. Mr. Jacobson has given me permission to copy his article in its entirety here, so please enjoy Living in the Relational Church by Wayne Jacobson. Living in the Relational Church. So after 2,000 years, how do you think he's doing? I can't resist asking that question whenever I'm studying Matthew 16 with a group of believers. There we find the only recorded instruction Jesus gave to his disciples about the church. "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." He didn't ask them to do it. He didn't give them a blueprint of an organization. He simply said he would build his church, and it would be strong enough to withstand any assault by darkness. So it only seems natural to assess how he's doing. If he's been at it for almost 2,000 years, what do we have to show for it? I've asked that of all kinds of people, even at pastoral conventions. When I do, you can feel the tension in the room. People shift awkwardly, a few chuckle nervously. They know better than to say he hasn't done well, but they also know the church is fragmented by division, scandalized by immorality, vilified for its arrogance, exposed by its misplaced priorities, and far from replicating the ministry Jesus modeled for us in the Gospels. We either have to conclude that Jesus hasn't done an exceptional job, or consider that there is a vast difference between what he calls church and what we do. I used to be disillusioned by what I thought was God's church. Seeing his people lost in priorities that were far from his own and doing things in ways that seemed to benefit the institution more than extend God's kingdom in our lives or the world, I lamented the sorry state of the church. Not anymore! In recent years, I've come to realize that our religious institutions are not the church God sees. What God calls church are all the people who know his Son as their Lord and leader. They are scattered over the whole world, growing to know him better and to demonstrate his character in the world. This is the bride God is preparing for his own son. I've seen parts of her all over the world. Far from being weak, divided, and corrupted, the Church of Jesus Christ is growing in beauty, strength, and power every day. How is Jesus doing at building his church? Incredible! His people exist in every nook and cranny of the world, and they are finding ways to relate to each other that glorify his name, not cause people to disparage it. What God calls church. To see it, however, you have to look past the institutions and buildings we call church and find those people who are living in him. Please don't misunderstand that statement. I am not speaking against those institutions as evil, only encouraging you not to confuse them with church. Yes, many people frequent them who are part of God's church and are growing to know him better. That's not at question. But to see God's work in the world, you have to look beyond the groups that call themselves church and see the bigger picture. All those God is calling to himself throughout your city and the world. If not, we'll confuse our religious systems with the church and miss the great thing God is doing in preparing himself a bride. We must be careful to call church what God calls church, or we'll end up saying things that don't make any sense. For instance, I was with a young couple recently. A few months before, they had simply had enough. Tired of the backbiting, bored by being a spectator on Sunday mornings, wearied of being manipulated to do more for God, and burned out on too many responsibilities. Already, they told me they had left the church. How could you do that? I asked. The church is not something you can leave unless you've left Jesus. Of course, they hadn't, and they only meant that they had left organized religion in hopes of finding a more authentic expression of his life than the group they were in. But that is a very different thing than leaving the church. Let us be careful with our terms. When religious organizations co-opt the term church, it is easy for us to get confused, thinking that's what they really are. But they are not. They might be gatherings of people who are part of the church, but in and of themselves, they are not the church. The Church of Jesus Christ could never be contained in any organization, and in fact, the way he works makes it impossible to fit in the most skillfully constructed structures. Due to the greater length of this chapter, we will pause the recording here, and part two of A Bigger View of Church will be published next week. You've been listening to There's the Steeple, Here's the Church, an audiobook by Greg Campbell. Subscribe to this podcast at iTunes or stop by the website gregshead.net/church. There you can download each chapter when it's available or subscribe in your favorite podcast reader. Thanks for listening, and we welcome your comments at gregshead.net/church.